Line, Willie D. Mays, 102.5, 106.3, The Game and The Game Nashville app. We're streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook Live every single day. And we are broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Day one of rookie minicamp today, so we'll get some updates throughout the day. Obviously, we are not at St. Thomas Sports Park, but we'll get some updates from Brian Callahan as he takes the podium later this hour. Also, ask D. Mace later this hour. No text line, so get your calls in for D. Mace. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. But we also heard from Brian Callahan yesterday. And while today, I believe, is going to be a recap of what we saw from the rookies, of his takeaways from day one of rookie minicamp, yesterday was just kind of a recap of draft picks and looking ahead to the offseason program and Tyler Boyd, the addition of Tyler Boyd. And of course, Brian Callahan was asked about the addition of Tyler Boyd, but also pivoted very quickly to address something that we have been talking a whole heck of a lot about over the past couple of weeks and months. And as we lead up to the NFL regular season here in a few months, this was Brian Callahan, not just on Tyler Boyd, but the receiving position as a whole.
Yeah, since it's not official yet, hasn't signed the papers in general, just to put that out there to start. That'll be official sooner than later, but not quite yet. But Tyler is a slot receiver. That's what he does. That's where he's made his money. That's where his production has come from. He's a fantastic slot receiver on top of it. Most importantly, I think he's an awesome addition to the locker room. He's a great human being, great worker, and everything about him is what we want to be about. And so to add him is really been an, is an impactful add for us, and excited about it. As far as Treylon's role, he's going to play everything. We've told him that from the beginning. He's going to play inside. He's going to play outside. And he's going to carve out a role for himself. And I had him come up today and do the break after practice because his work that he's put in has been really impressive. Just to give you guys some context, you know, yesterday, Tuesdays are our harder days of our four-day work week. It's a really heavy day. And so the load on the players is high. And what I mean by that is both acceleration, max speeds, and yardage. And so Treylon, I think, ran, 3,591 yards on Tuesday and then hit our top speed and team-leading top speed at 22.6 miles an hour in practice. So super impressive workload and performance. And so he's had a really good offseason. I'm excited about what he can bring for us. I meant when I said that the other day that I think he's going to have a role to play.
And that was Brian Callahan at the podium yesterday and talks about Tyler Boyd, but also made sure to address Treylon Burks, that he's going to play everywhere. He's going to carve out a role for himself. And I don't think that it was by accident that Brian Callahan made sure to point out specific things that Treylon Burks has been doing or did this week in training. You know, 3,000-something yards, and I'm just trying to, like, compute that in my head because when I think of running, I don't really necessarily calculate it in yards. I'm like, my goodness, 3,000, that's a lot of yards. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, D-Mays, what do you take away from that, what Brian Callahan had to say about Treylon Burks, how he's going to carve out a role for himself?
He was being honest, I think. And when you have a guy that has the talent that Treylon has, the potential, and we've seen it. It's not like, you know, we haven't seen it in him. So when you have a guy that's talented like that, but you have a receiving room that is made up of these veteran guys with this young guy, you want to make sure you give him enough opportunities to be effective in his offense.
Because surely he didn't take the news of signing Tyler Boyd well. I mean, surely he's probably not jumping up and down super excited about bringing another receiver.
You either one or two things, fight or fly. That's what you do. Either they bring in another guy and you go in a shell and, you know, it just messes up your whole aura or whatever. It messes it all up and you're upset. Or you take it as an opportunity. Okay, I'm going to prove to them why I should be here, why I need to be here, and that I want to be here. So he can take either, you know, one or two approaches. Hopefully he takes the latter. Just go in there and compete. But that's all Brian is saying. Listen, go compete. That's all we're going to make sure you're not just an X, you're not just a Z, you're not just an H or a Y. We are asking you to learn all those positions. I'm familiar with this, very familiar with this. As a rookie, I come in, and Les Steckel says, you need to know all these positions. Back then, I didn't understand. Like, why? I wasn't the second-round pick. I'm trying to earn a spot on this team. Let me learn one position, because that one position is hard to learn anyway, so let me learn it. But I didn't know was he was giving me an opportunity to compete across the board, not just at the X, but at the Z and at the H, that if any one of these guys went down, I've shown enough to where he can insert me in there and wouldn't have a problem. And you know what he did the first game of the season? He inserted me in there because Derrick Russell got hurt. Had I not practiced at that H position, I wouldn't have been in a position to show them that I can play it. Or he wouldn't have had the confidence in me to put me in as the slot receiver. I see Treylon Burks the same way. They're trying to give him an opportunity to earn a role in this offense. Why? Because they want him to have a role in this offense. No coach is going to say, I want you to learn all these positions if they don't want you to have a role in this offense. If they don't want you to go and produce whenever we put you in. It could be at the X, it could be the Z, it could be at the H or the Y. No matter where we put you, we need to have the confidence that we can just throw you out there. So this is a good thing for Treylon, I believe. And coach is just being honest. We're going to give him an opportunity. He's going to play all three. And we're going to count on him to know all three positions. Why? Because we're going to need him. The Tyler Boyd signing has nothing to do with Treylon Burks. They needed to upgrade that room anyway. And they wanted to upgrade it with veteran guys to help the quarterback. That didn't have anything to do with Treylon Burks. Everything that has to do with Treylon Burks, Treylon Burks can help it. He can go in and make their minds up for them. Go out there and ball out. Go out there and learn. That's why he's throwing out numbers. That's why he's throwing out the speed and the numbers and amount of yards that he ran.
That's not by accident.
No, it's not by accident.
Yeah.
He wants to show, like, Treylon, you, this can be done. You can do it. We're just asking you to go out and hone in on that skill set that you have that we don't think the other receivers on this roster have. They can't take any one of these other receivers and try to put them at all three positions. I'm not saying they couldn't put them there because they don't know it. Yeah, D-Hop can learn all three positions. Ridley can learn all three positions. Tyler Boyd can learn. They can do that. But to play it at a level we need you to play it at, I'm not sure they can do it like Treylon Burks.
Well, I think it was pretty obvious there. Ryan Callahan said, Tyler Boyd's our slot.
Yeah,
he's going to play slot for us. And what was the stat that you said earlier this week, Willie, over the last 8 years?
Over the last 8 years. Now, 8 years is a long period of time, mm-hmm. especially in NFL years, right? So we have to maybe separate the first 4 years from the last 4 years. I'd like to see the difference. And also under, Brian Callahan's influence as opposed to the previous coaching staff, which would be part of that timetable. But over the last 8 years, mm-hmm. he has the most catches and yards of any NFL wide receiver from the slot. Only on catches from the slot. So he's a specialist from that area.
And also, I think a testament, too, to his availability. But yeah, over the last 8 years, he's been consistently available.
Yeah, he hasn't missed much time with injury.
Yeah, he's not missing.
And I heard Callahan say this, and I think this is important, too. And I think of Gus Nyquist and Luke Shen. You know, he is. They think he brings that element, that ingredient to a locker room mm-hmm. that is a positive ingredient. And I would think that would have to go without saying, but I like hearing that, mm-hmm. that hopefully mm-hmm. he's a guy that Burks can learn from. Maybe he's a reason why Burks gets it, you know, or another reason, right? One of many.
It could be one of many. If Treylon didn't get it before they signed Tyler Boyd or before they signed Ridley, I'm not sure if he will ever get it, if we were waiting on him to get it because of these signings. Again, I think how they feel about Treylon Burks and what they feel he can be in his offense is separate from them going out and getting Tyler Boyd, because Tyler Boyd is specific at one thing. He's going to be their slot. Tyler Boyd can't play outside. He's their slot. Mm-hmm. So when you bring in just a guy for the slot position, that doesn't tell me, oh, you forgot about Treylon Burks. It doesn't tell me that because you didn't bring him in to do the things that you're asking Treylon Burks to do. Treylon Burks will be on the field if he shows them he needs to be on the field or he's earned the right to be on the field. Them signing Tyler Boyd doesn't mean Treylon Burks is not getting on the field anymore. No, Treylon will get on the field as much as he earns that right to get on the field. And that's fair. Mm-hmm. That is completely fair.
Best 11.
And, you know, you don't get much fair in sports. Fair is where they judge, what, pigs and all that other stuff. It doesn't
fair
happen.
Where you get funnel cake.
Yeah, and where you get funnel cake, absolutely.
Deep fried Oreos.
And deep fried Oreos, absolutely. So we can keep on going out
Nick
of line.
I going to chime
but,
in.
But it has nothing to do with, oh, I'm being fair to the player. No. What's being fair to the player? Just go out and compete. You'll make our job a lot easier. Just go out and compete and do the things that we're asking you to do. Hone in on a talent that we know you have. You do that, that Tyler Boyd signing means nothing to us. It only enhances what we're doing. But what's going to – listen to me, people. What's going to make this receiving core pop? This is a good receiving core right now. This is probably the best receiving core they've had since we had Drew and Dice and myself and Justin, us four. Since then, they haven't been able to recreate a top three or four. They've had individuals, Nate Washington, Delaney Walker, Rashad Matthews, guys like that that came in and got the job done. But they haven't had a group of guys. The closest they came to was 2 or 3 years ago when they had AJ and Corey and Janu, and they had a good receiving core, like guys that can catch the ball. Well, this is the closest. This is probably the closest they've been to having four solid guys, really good guys, since the early 2000s. But it doesn't change what they believe Treylon can do. Treylon, if it goes the way I'm sure he wants it to go, this receiving core will end up being the best receiving core in National Football League. He's that one guy that can make all of this pop and come all together because his ability to play all the positions, his ability to have this speed. He's the one with the speed. He's the one with the that aggressiveness. He's the closest thing to A.J. Brown that they've had. He's not A.J. Brown. He's not A.J. Brown, but he's the closest. Size, speed, strength, you know, his ability to get a mismatch because of this big body. He's the closest. If we can get him to pop, it's going to set off our whole receiving core. Anybody that don't believe that, y'all ain't been watching receivers in their receiving core.
Do you think he has the – you like to call it the dog, right? Uh-huh. That fight. That's what I haven't – he hasn't been out there mm-hmm. enough for me to really know. I can see the fluidness or lack of fluidness as he catches the ball. Those are things. But what about just the interior? Like, I'm going to get this done. I am going to win this catch. I'm going to put numbers up. I am the man. Does he have that?
And then this is the question that Caroline brought up about a month ago. And it's no one can answer that but Treylon Burks. Does he have that dog in him? What I truly want to see from Treylon is this. You know the world's against you. And I'm not talking against you in a bad way. Like they just wanted to, but they are like, move on from him. You know, he's
right,
done.
Right. A lot of noise.
Exactly. Yeah. A lot of skepticism, noise around the trade and doing all this stuff. I went through it so I can speak on this.
Yeah.
Everybody is against you. Well, go out there and show them. Go out there and prove them wrong. That's what you got to do. That's what I want to see. That's the dog in him. Can you fight through all of this noise? Yep. Can you fight through all of these signings? Remember, they drafted Kevin Dyson. They signed Carl Pickens. They signed Yancey Thigpen. They had Chris Sanders. They drafted Joey Kent right before me. They even brought in Tyrone Calico 2 or 3 years later. I fought through all that crap. Those are my boys now. And I'm not talking about them being crap. I'm saying all the stuff that they tried to bring in. Mm-hmm. I have my eyes on one thing, is to be a starter and be dominant in the league. That's all I cared about. Early on, I was hurt that they brought it. But then, hey, somebody came in, Chris Sanders, say, listen, worry about what you can. And when he said that, you're absolutely right. Let me worry about what I can control, because the things I can control, I'm going to show you that I need to be playing, and I need to be playing right now. Fortunately enough for me, unfortunate for Kevin, when he got hurt, but I was ready. If I wasn't ready, they wouldn't have thrown me in there. So training, as I did, just fight through all the mess. Fight through all the noise. Fight through all the signings. Those are your boys. You're cool with them. Y'all have a great relationship. I had a great relationship with Chris, Dice, all of them, Joey. But I fought through all of that to become a star. Training has to do the same thing. That's the dog I want to see. Fight through all that crap. Fight through all the noise. Fight through all the signings.
The bottom line is,
earn your spot.
It will work out one way or the other if he does.
Absolutely.
If he has the talent of a first-round pick of what he has flashed, right? He's flashed enough where we're like, okay, I see it. He's big. He's strong.
Yeah.
He can do these things. Like in the training camp before the injury in Minnesota, everybody was really raving about him. Really, right? That was
totally.
Everybody was raving.
Oh, yeah.
So if he can get to that level, it will work out. They'll figure out a way to get him out there.
And what Brian Callahan, what I took away from what he had to say is, we're going to give you carte blanche. We're going to give you an opportunity to play anywhere. Is that H, X, Y, Z, element of P, wherever. It's yours for the taking. Take it. Take the opportunity. And that will answer my question. What's your want? What's your want level? Do you want this? Because we're going to give you every opportunity to take it. All right, Ask D-May is coming up next. Call in questions for D-May, 615-737-1025 is the phone number. Text line is down. Or if you're watching on the YouTube stream, you can comment a question, and we'll take your question in the YouTube chat. Caroline, Willie, D-Mace, we are brought to you by Zen Sports. Start earning cash rewards on your bets today. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-889-9789. Terms and conditions apply. Must be 21 or older and in Tennessee to bet.
D-Mace. He played 15 years in the NFL.
Quick throw. Mason.
He had over 12,000 receiving yards.
And there he goes! 80 yards for the touchdown!
And now you can ask him anything. Have a question about football or life? Now's your time to ask D-Mace.
We'll welcome you in.
Now on Caroline, Willie, and
D-Mace.
On 102.5 and 106.3, The Game and the Game Nashville app.
D-Mace, get those questions in for D-Mace. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. If you haven't heard, our text line's not working. So if you have a call for D-Mace, or if you have a question for D-Mace, call in. Pick up the phone, 615-737-1025. Or if you're watching on YouTube, feel free to send a question into the chat. We'll get to those as well. Before we get to your questions for D-Mace, I have to let y'all know that you can join Cromwell Media along with local athletes and musicians at Hermitage Golf Course on June 20th for the 615 Open. Make a difference while supporting Souls for Souls. Every $20 raised goes to a new pair of shoes for a local child experiencing homelessness. So sign up to play or sponsor at 615open.com. Let's get your questions for D-Mace. Phone lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Our guy, Eric, is on the line with a question for D-Mace, and probably a dad joke if I had to guess as well. What's up, Eric?
No, the reason there's no dad joke this weekend, of course, it's Mother's Day. So I want
to. So you got a mom's joke?
No Mother's Day joke. But seriously, guys, all serious, I want to wish all the moms out there a very happy Mother's Day. Hope you enjoy. Caroline, I don't know if you're a mom, but if you are, I want to wish you a happy Mother's Day as well.
I am not. Okay. I am not, that I know of at least, but thank you.
Well, I wasn't sure, so I didn't know. So.
I appreciate that, Eric. Thank you. But happy Mother's Day to my mom and to yours as well.
Yeah, well, the thing is, though, is don't want to be real somber, but yeah, my mother's passed away about a year and a half ago. And the thing is, as long as your mother's around, definitely cherish them because they're the only ones you got. And definitely, if you have problems with your mothers, you need to work them out and straighten them out right now. So it's not a good thing if mothers and children are having problems. I know there's some of that out there. But speaking of Mother's Day, Derek, I'm glad I got in first because this is a question I want to ask you. What would you say is the best present that you yourself gave your mom, and would your mom agree? What would she say is the best present that you gave her? Is it one and the same? Is it different? Just wanted to get your thoughts on that. The best present that you ever gave your mom, or what would she say is the best present that she ever received from you? Guys, y'all take care. Have a great weekend, and we'll talk again soon.
Thank you, Eric. Have a great weekend.
Thank you, Eric. And like Eric, my mom, it's been, man, It's been eight years since my mom passed. So
it's hard.
It's hard. And, you know, right around this time, it's you just start to think about things that you used to do and phone calls or whatnot. The best present I gave my mom, I don't know. Because a lot of times it's not the size or the amount of the gift. It's just that it came from, you know, the place it came from. I would love to always think that her grandchildren were the best gift that I could have given to her. So I can't go past anything past that. Now, have I given her material things and stuff like that? Yeah. But just grandkids. And I think the ability for her and my dad to watch me do something that I enjoyed doing as a kid. Mm-hmm. And being able to, you know, talk about that and be excited about that, being excited to go to the Super Bowl, being excited to come to Baltimore, or when we were here, traveling here to Nashville. They always enjoyed being in Nashville to watch me play. So I would tend to believe it was the grandchildren.
Yeah.
But she's not here any longer.
Yeah,
she's not here any longer. So, you know, it's hard to really, but I would tend to believe that was probably more than likely the greatest.
When you first got drafted, or when you first, let's say when you got your first paycheck, was she the person that you called? First person you called?
I was married too, so, I mean.
That's true, yeah.
Yeah. So, she was excited when I got signed, when I got drafted. And she was a proud mom. Man, they were proud parents. You know, just to see, I think any parent, mom especially, because this is Mother's Day, when they see their child excelling and doing well and they don't have to worry about them, that's always a good thing for them, for a parent. At least I think, because I look at my kids and they're thriving. And I think that's something that I don't have to worry about. Still worry about a lot of other stuff with them, but that's one thing I don't have to worry about. Like, they turned out great, or they are turning out to be really great humans and adults. So, you know.
That's probably another one of the best gifts you gave your mom.
Yeah.
Like, look, I'm good.
You ain't got to worry. I'm good.
No, more worry. I'm sure she still did worry about somebody.
Yeah, she called me every day. She called me every day. And, you know. That's the part, like Eric said, you know, if you got your mom here, and I understand everybody's family dynamics are not the same, and there could be some strain in the family dynamic, and I understand that part. But if there's anything in you that want to reconcile, do it. Because those phone calls, and I know we all are going to have our day, but those phone calls you get every day, when you don't get them, they affect you. They really do affect you. And it affected me. And they still do at times. So, you know, if your mom's here living, reach out. Enjoy them on Mother's Day. But enjoy them every day. Parents, fathers, the same thing. Enjoy fathers every day. Because we're getting older. And best believe they're getting older. I think those were a few things that you asked what she would have. I think those are the things.
I'm sure she would have.
Yeah.
So. All great things.
Caroline, I have to say, we have a message by scroll.
So the people have been taking this.
Yes.
It
came from a pigeon outside. I didn't see where it came from, but it says here, creative. For D-Mace.
Okay.
What is your most favorable moment, I guess, in pastime when you went to practice with your kids?
Favorite moment. They're still... because my daughter, she didn't care to come. And not that she was a girl, but she didn't care to come.
It's hot outside.
It was like, I don't want to go out. You know, when she was little, bring her every once in a while. But, you know, her mom would bring her during practice. Yeah. And then, you know, after 2 days or what, come over and talk or whatnot. So she's experienced some of that. But I think, you know, for me, it was there's a picture that I still have. I forgot who took it. I need to look on a newspaper and see who actually took the picture. It was in the Tennessean. And ironically, it was the preseason before I end up getting released, where I had DJ. And I'm walking. I got his hands. I'm looking forward, like going toward the locker room. He's looking back. I guess at his mom or somebody, like, where we going? Y'all ain't coming? But it was just a wonderful picture of he and I getting ready to walk into the locker room.
That's right. Really cool.
So he's experienced all of that. And that part was cool, like, to have DJ. And he, like, they love, like, especially when I went to Baltimore, because when I was here, he was so young. He was just so young. Mm-hmm. But when I went to Baltimore, a lot of his personality started to come out. And I would take him with me just about every Saturday, especially if we played home. And he and Troy Smith, them two, they were like little kids together.
Besties.
He was a little kid, but Troy isn't a little kid, but he was like a little kid with my son. And it was just the most wonderful thing to see, like, my son enjoying that. Found him a friend, like, I want to go see Troy. Like, I want to go. And every time Troy would see him, those two would go back at, you know, back and forth. And it was just a fun thing to watch. So.
That is so fun. That was one of my favorite parts of going to training camp, is watching the kids after practice, and especially Kevin Byard's daughter. Uh-huh. Like, Kevin Byard's daughter, I remember there was one day after practice, she picked up his helmet and his gloves, and she's all of, you know, 11 pounds, like itty bitty tiny little toddler, like 2-3 years old. And she's walking around, helmet's bigger than she is. And it's just such sweet moments that I know.
Yeah.
Players just absolutely love and adore and will, I'm sure, forever.
Yeah, you always love those moments.
We've got a question on the YouTube chat. Look at us. Alex comments, says, why is there disrespect toward the Titans and Levis FanDuel having him ranked 32nd? Remember that? 32nd overall quarterback behind quarterbacks that hadn't even been drafted yet. Says, in the Titans picking second. My opinion.
Have they redone that since the draft?
TBD. I guess we might see some new content here in the next couple of weeks. And he says, in my opinion, Vrabel would have ruined Levis's legacy by misdeveloping him.
Listen, and I've been on the record, and I've said this before the Will Levis was even drafted. They didn't do a particularly good job at developing the quarterbacks on their roster. For what reason, I don't know. But they didn't. Marcus Mariota never got any better. You know, the other quarterbacks that they brought, the only quarterback that they had some success with was Ryan Tannehill. They didn't develop Ryan Tannehill. Ryan Tannehill had been in the NFL already 7-8 years prior to coming to Nashville. He was who he was as a quarterback. You just wanted to make sure you honed it in and made sure he was the best fit for the type of offense you wanted to run. But as a quarterback, he was more developed than not. So you didn't have to spend that time developing him and all this other stuff. He had his thing going. Now you can enhance it. Yes, I get that. And he was always looking to get better, I'm sure. But when you talk about these young quarterbacks, Malik Willis, all these, they didn't improve. Mm-hmm. They didn't improve not one bit. So the caller or the texter saying that, it rings true a little bit, at least in my eyes, because this is what I was talking about prior to them changing offensive coordinators, all this other stuff. I said they're not developing the quarterback position. They're not. It's evident. And every guy that they put in, they're not developing. They don't seem like they're getting better. The one guy is Ryan Tannehill, but he was developed a long time ago.
Yeah.
You know? So the caller may be in the text may be right. They may have, you know, not did the best for Will Levis had they remained the coaching staff. I'm just going by what I saw prior to them drafting Will Levis.
And it's tough, too, because Marcus was not drafted when Mike Vrabel
exactly
was the coach.
Exactly.
And was that the development under Vrabel, or is that maybe Marcus Mariota just wasn't destined to be an NFL quarterback? Because after he left the Titans, it's not like he was really all that great afterwards. And then Malik Willis is used the same kind of sentiment. Is it the lack of development with Malik Willis, or is Malik Willis just not an NFL quarterback? I can't say one way or another what the coaching staff would have done for Will Levis, or, you know, if he would have been great or if he not would have been great. But I think one thing is true. I at least feel encouraged of what he can do under Brian Callahan, given Brian Callahan's history with quarterbacks. Mm-hmm. And that's, you know, I'm so sensitive of saying that because I don't want this to become new coaching staff, exactly. Does everything right, new old coaching staff, a bunch of idiots, all of them. You know, that's because that's not the case. And
no,
it's really easy to convince ourselves of that. But at least given Brian Callahan's expertise, you feel encouraged about what Will Levis can become under him. Doug's on the line with a question for D. Mace. What's up, Doug?
Yes, this question's for Dr. Theo Mason. I want him to deal with this from the running back position. You know, all this talk about the wide receivers, nothing about the RBs. Come on, Dr. Phil Mason, talk these RBs off the ledge like, are we a part of this too?
Thanks for your call, Doug.
Are they still allowed to run the ball now that Derrick Henry's
gone? Yeah, are they still allowed to run the ball?
They're never going to run the ball, ever.
Are they allowed to participate now that Derrick Henry is no longer with the Titans? The running backs don't have to worry. I think this will be a two-back system. You know, I think it will be whoever has the hot hand, we're going to ride them. Not to say that the other guy is not going to get his carries, but we're going to ride this guy a little bit longer if he has the hot hand, and rightfully so. There's still a place in his offense. They need a running back. Ask Cincinnati when Mixon was hurt, how much, you know, at times they struggled when they didn't have that guy in the backfield. A guy that imposes his will, or a guy that is good at running between the tackles and catching the ball out the backfield. When you don't have that, then you realize how important it is. Mm-hmm. So the running backs don't need to be worried. They're going to be featured in his offense. Brian Callahan is not coming in here and saying, listen, we're just throwing the ball. Out of 90 plays, we've thrown the ball 85 times. No, we're not going to do that. Some games, we may defer to the pass a little bit more, but in order to set that up, we must have a running game. We got to have a running game, and I think that's why this dual running back situation, as they upgrade the offensive line, it will be critical in how the Titans' passing game go. If they don't have a run game, they're not going to have a passing game. I'm telling y'all that right now. The passing game is going to be very difficult to go out and produce each and every week if they don't have a running game, whether it be one guy going crazy or both of them together, you know, having good seasons. They must have a presence at the running back position in order to have the type of passing game they want to have. We believe Brian Callahan's a good offensive mind, but even a good offensive mind without a running game, there's only so much. Ask Andy Reid, why do you think this running back carousel, and they're trying to get the best running back, and they're going to run the ball no matter what? Because they know that if they can get that running game going, it makes everything easier. You know, Mahomes can go out and do it probably without a running game, but why even put him through that? It's easier when you have a running game, and I'm sure that's what Brian Callahan is telling their running backs. Y'all are not going to be forgotten in his offense.
Yeah,
we need y'all, because if we don't have y'all, it makes our passing game more difficult to go out and orchestrate each and every week.
It's going to look different.
Yeah, it's going
to
look different.
You're not handing
Absolutely.
The ball off 20, 25 times a game to Derrick Henry.
Yeah.
What I am interested to see is what is kind of the balance of the two running backs. Mm-hmm. You know, what's going to be the role for Tajay Spears and for Tony Pollard? Who's going to get the ball more? Who's going to maybe get the ball out of the backfield mm-hmm. a little bit more? I'm intrigued to see how that kind of pans out. More questions for D-Mays coming up next. We will hear from Brian Callahan at some point. That's all I got for you. We'll hear from him at some point. More questions for D-Mays coming up next. Tune into 94.9 The Fan today as the Nashville Sounds take on the Durham Bulls on the road. Pre-game at 5:20, first pitch at 5:35, with coverage also available on 94.9 The Fan app and at 94.9thefan.com. Sounds baseball on 94.9 The Fan, presented by Twin Peaks Family Leisure and Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning. D. Mays. Get those questions in for D. Mays. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. Call in with the questions. Text line is broken, or you can send them in on YouTube. You can find us at 1025 The Game. Ricky comments on the YouTube chat and says, I'm getting Bill Walsh vibes from Brian Callahan. Very poised and smart, but also builds people up.
Ah, Bill Walsh. Started with what team? The Bengals. yeah, as a young assistant.
You're right.
Way, way back.
Interesting.
Prior to his 49er days.
Well, don't ask Steve Young that, because Steve Young got mad when he signed him and told him that Joe Montana was going. He was upset, and Joe Montana didn't leave, because that was the year Joe Montana was it? No, because Seifert was after him, so it was Bill Walsh. And he told him, he relayed to him, like, listen, he has a back issue. More than likely, he's trading him something. Steve gets there, and it's like, Joe ain't going nowhere. Joe was the quarterback, I think, for the next two years or something like that.
He had to wait.
Yeah, so he had to wait his turn. So, yeah.
He was very glad to be out of Tampa Bay, though.
Oh, definitely. Oh, my goodness. Oh, man. That's where they wore paper bags over their heads. See,
they
you don't remember
bad.
Those days, Carolina.
I was subjected to a lot of Steve Young Tampa Bay games growing up in Orlando. And you're like, oh. Because they would black out the home games if they weren't sold out, which is most of the games back then.
Yeah, what
at the Big
out.
Sombrero, they were so bad they didn't sell out. It's a fun place to go see a game, but they were bad, and so you were hoping you got the best number one game. But if the Bucks were on the road, you got the Bucks.
That was such a dumb rule back then.
Yeah,
the games were blacked out in the local markets at the games. So that was so dumb.
I'm kind of glad they were, because then we didn't have to watch the home games.
Hey, if you were that bad where you didn't. Like, they blacked you out in your own city? Yeah, that's bad.
Down bad. One commenter in the YouTube chat doesn't have the same ring as texter, but we'll rock with it.
Commenter.
One commenter says, what was the 1999 wide receiver room like with the Titans, and what were the strengths of each receiver?
That 99 team was myself, Joy, Chris, Isaac, Kevin, Yancey. Carl wasn't on that team just yet, I don't believe. So it was us six. There may have been a seventh person. I'm not sure. But yeah, those were the six guys. Myself, Dice, Joey, Chris, Isaac Bird, and Yancey. And it was, we had a good receiver room. It was a good receiver room. But we all were competing. We all were competing for playing time. It had to be the most awkward for Kevin, because he was the youngest guy there. And, you know, they drafted him in the first round to be, you know, sort of the number one guy. And his career started first year, was pretty good for a rookie. And then he had set his eyes on that next season, which was the 98 season. And he did some good things in that season, too. So he was primed for a third year. But then he ended up, I think after the first or second game, which I think the first game, he had a pretty good game against Kansas City, if I'm not mistaken. And then he ends up getting hurt in practice. But our receiver room was great as far as, like, personalities. We had veteran guys, and we had younger guys. We had Chris and Yancey, who were the veteran guys. And then everybody else, myself, Joey, Isaac, and Dice, we were the young guys. So we had a good mix veteran and young. So we got along, but we knew where we were competing. And then the next following year, I believe that's when they brought in Carl Pickens. And I think they end up releasing or trading Isaac. And they may have, let me see, 97, 98, so I think 2000 or after the 2000 season is when they released Joey. But that 99 room was a cool room. Young, old, you know, Chris was the speed down the field. Yancey was the savvy veteran that you can put in the slot, you can put on the outside. He was a crafty, great hands. And, you know, obviously Dice was sort of like the speed guy and big body guy. And then everybody else sort of fell in between. They were, you know, they wanted Joey to be a starter. It just, for whatever reason, it didn't work out. And I was like that in-between guy, like slot guy, outside guy, return punch, return kickoff. So I was like a Swiss Army knife, a jack of all trades. So we all had our individual things that we can do well. But as a whole, the receiver room was a really good room. Really good room.
And I know that the after Tyler Boyd signing, a lot of the conversation has been, you know, is this the best Titans receiving room of all time? If it's not this one, do you think it would be the 99 room?
I'm not going to say. It was based upon your production. this group is better than the 99 group, because again, you only had two veteran guys. Now, Yancey was a handful. I mean, mm-hmm. dude can flat out play. Now, if he wouldn't have got injured, I think you would have saw the best of Yancey here, but he dealt with a lot of injuries.
Yeah. And I think the foot injury,
I think, was the big one for him, if I recall with him. So we had Chris had some really good years early on. They have more production as a whole because these guys, before all coming together, they had played at least five NFL seasons or four NFL seasons. So you accumulated a lot of numbers. So as far as production, this group is better because they all
came. What they have done.
Yeah, what they have done. But, you know, the room of myself, Kevin, Justin, and Drew, that probably was the best room this franchise have had as far as production with this team, mm-hmm. That room, because we had different, like Drew, everybody had sort of their niche and specialty. Drew was the big body guy. Drew had speed to him. It was like deceptive speed. Like if you didn't pay Drew a run right by you, if you weren't paying attention, but he was a big body guy, guy we can throw it to a red zone. Tough as nails. Drew was a tough son of a gun, too. Surfer boy, but tough. And he probably was the most athletic of us all. And then you had Justin, who was a special teams guy, too, but he was tough. He can play the slot. You could put him outside. He was another speed guy down the field.
Yeah.
Dice, you know, he was coming off the injury, so they were trying to work him back into the role. And then myself, again, it was the same. I was the consistent guy that they could move across the board. Still did a little punt return. I didn't do much because then they had other guys that could go out and do it. But we had a group of guys that all could do different things. But if you asked them, like if you asked, you know, Drew to play in a slot, he could play in a slot. You don't really want him in there, but he can play it. Justin can play the slot outside. Mm-hmm. Dice can play inside, outside. Chris was the outside guy. So we had guys that can play multiple.
Group.
Yeah, it was a versatile.
Yeah.
I'm not sure how much versatility you have with this group. Mm-hmm. But if you're talking about just numbers, yeah, this is the best group when you're talking numbers. This is the best group the Titans has ever had.
Appreciate all your questions for D-Mace. You can tune in to 94.9 The Fan this Sunday for coverage of the Goodyear 400 at Darlington Raceway. Coverage will begin at 1 p.m. with the race starting at 2. Coverage also available on the 94.9 The Fan app and at 94.9thefan.com.